Is anyone here? What did you find?
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.
A very good Friday evening to the SC Universe. Welcome back to our Friday Night Live show. We are streaming for the very first time on YouTube. Usually you'll see us on Facebook. Today we're on your YouTube. Please do share this post, like it with everybody else on Facebook, and get everybody in on this show tonight. Because if you have been watching us every Friday night, you know what's in store. SC stands for Supernatural Confessions, but sometimes on the Friday Night Live show, it also stands for stand-up comedy or sexual content.
What?
Right. And with me on screen, you see some very beautiful, good-looking people, starting from the guy below me with a cap. He is the voice of SC. He does our podcast twice a week now, not just once, twice a week. His name is Kim, the beautiful lady on my right. Her name is Sonia Kurana, and she's a lead hype for our SC Recon. Tomorrow she's taking us on to some godforsaken places. She does that quite often with us. Most times you'll see her taking the stream outside, but today she's nicely all cleaned up and sitting there with her pristine white earphones.
Below Sonia,
look at a bad boy with the stash. He is Joe, JDC for short, a bad boy, bad boy Joe. See, look at that hardship. Such a darling. So, this is Supernatural Confessions Friday Night Live. We tell you ghost stories for 1.5 hours, but don't leave after 11:30 because there is a featured confession that comes right after the show. So, let's catch up with the rest of our hosts. How are you guys doing? Joe, how are you doing?
How are you doing, Eugene?
I'm doing real good.
Am I on the right channel, boys?
Of course. No, doing well, man. Just a little bit tired. Bit of exercise today, and it's been a long day, but it's great to, join the SC family again. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
So what about you, Son? You're feeling under the weather today, eh?
Yeah, I'm not feeling so good, but a little bit of honey lemon should do the trick.
Nice. Look at that cup.
Well, I don't know about you. For me,
it is.
It's a
gayong. But otherwise, we had just come out of a nice 2-day, 1-night shoot for Supernatural Confessions Recon. So look out for that. It's a season special. It promises to be very exciting. Many different backgrounds. We were out on the water. We were out in some old haunted places and stuff, so I can't wait to see it myself, let alone the fans.
All that hard work is in these hard days, and I hope I don't corrupt this, so keep your fingers crossed.
I don't think I could repeat that 2-day, 1-night. It was crazy.
What about you, Kimmy? How are you doing? There's something that was launched today, right?
It has been a very busy week. Oh, I get to advertise my whatever I'm doing.
Why not, man? You are, after all, the host of SC, and you are hosting a new show.
Woo! Okay, I'm gonna do a quick one now. Okay, I just launched a new YouTube channel whereby I call it Okay Alright. So the Okay Alright show features a lot of banters and a lot of stupid shit that I usually say here, like 5 or 10%, but I put up there 80% on the show. So pretty much it's a lifestyle, a more chilly pillow talk show. So that is one. And also I did talk on a more serious note about mental illness with a business event in Sarawak here. So that is also can be found on Spotify as well. Just one episode for that interview. But Okay Alright will be featured every week, at least one video. So yeah, it has been quite a busy week this week. And hopefully the weeks to come.
Right. Exciting stuff. Can't wait to see.
Yeah.
Well, how about yourself?
Eugene has been trying to lose weight. Been you know, doing a lot of stuff. You know, you can see, obviously, from my new setup, this is my new room, my new studio, you know, with my Joby stands behind and my Manfrotto tripod. So I got my battle station here. So everything looks kind of nice and dandy, my new place. I kind of like it. So getting used to this place. I want to say a big hello to Ziwei Yao, L, Sean Lim, Christian, Seaman, Bloody Love. Actually, there's a lot of names here that I don't quite recognize because I recognize you guys on Facebook.
From their Facebook names.
That's right.
I'm trying to recognize everyone too. I recognize Inez. Hey, Inez.
Inez, yeah. La 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 Land was also here yesterday.
Yes, for Where is Chi Chi?
Oh, Kara is here.
Yeah,
Kara
is here. Navi Network is here as well. KK Heng. Joel Go Wello, from where are you at today, Joel?
Oh, and someone, friendly chemist, said, somebody, please say hi to Ho Ching.
Hi, Ho Ching, yeah.
Ho Ching.
What's happening?
Ho Ching has stepped down from as a director for Temasek. Yeah, she's retired.
So she's coming on our show. She's retiring, isn't it? Decided to be part of SE.
Yeah, maybe she got some confessions to make, some ghost story to tell. Hey, I'm sure she has.
I do not think there'd be supernatural confessions. There might be some other confessions that I want to hear.
Wow.
We'll send her to the OK Alright show.
I got KK. KK Heng says, show just started. Eugene already intoxicated. Look at his face.
We actually have been talking since 8 p.m. just now, so yeah.
I mean,
we have been also, yeah. That is actually Sonia's second pill already for us.
Of cocktails, just right? There's a cocktail in there. I'm pretty sure there's a cocktail in there. It's alcoholic.
It's my face, but I swear it's not.
Long Island honey lemon tea. That's what you say. That's what you call it.
Honey lemon, because I'm a little bit under the weather today, and it's just to soothe a scratchy throat.
Yeah, okay. So, Kim, you have produced today's podcast, today's content and confessions. Tell our viewers what they can expect today.
Okay, in sequence, the first one, we would have a confession from a son of an Islamic healer. I believe this used to be in the past because he did not say that he became the Islamic healer. You know, the father was an Islamic healer. So this was an experience of his during his younger days. That is number one. Number two, it came from a confession whereby somebody said, don't sleep before Maghrib. That is when sunset. So why don't sleep at that particular time? Let's listen to the confession and talk about it later. So tonight, Know Your Hantu will feature a folklore or an entity from our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. Mm. So if there is people from the Philippines in the comment section watching the show, please say hi. And the last one will be voiced by our very own nice, sweet voice, Sonia, talking about something at the balcony. Yeah. So it's a new rented place by this bunch of entrepreneurs who started their business. And little did I know that something else came with the new space that they're renting.
I just wanted to say, we've got people from the States, from Beijing, tuning in. Wow.
Wait, how do you tune in from Beijing? This is YouTube.
Dun, 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 dun.
Don't ask, don't tell, is it?
As long as they're watching.
Don't tell, don't ask, don't tell. Wow, somebody from Greece as well.
Someone from Canada.
Very nice.
Nice.
Anna,
international.
Evelyn was watching yesterday's show as well. Where is Chi Chi? So I don't recognize some of the YouTube names, but please go ahead and introduce yourself. We're more used to seeing your Facebook names. And I just found out that Ivan is Navi Network. So hey, Ivan. And then somebody's asking why I'm sniffing out of this bale. I'm not sniffing. I'm drinking. I've got this huge thingamabob of honey lemon.
So is it something to do with age,
Jesus,
memory?
Alama,
bro.
You sure you want to go down that road?
Anyway, is Desmond a longtime member of Supernatural Confessions? He bought the T-shirt and he even customized a t-shirt with his own fabric pen that says "Lie, Lie, Lie, Confess." So he's a huge fan of SC, and a lot of members have been saying Desmond's voice is perfect for SC narrator. And for the very first time tonight, Desmond is going to be narrating a story. And usually I'll tell you guys that I am the sexiest voice of SC, but unfortunately tonight I may have to step down and let Desmond take that spot. So Desmond, if you're here, say hello. Fans of Desmond, let him know. Desmond is also, just for your information, Sonia, Desmond works for NParks.
I didn't do anything. I swear.
I just said crickets. I had crickets.
Yeah.
Okay, so without further ado, welcome on to Supernatural Confessions, 1st October episode. Our first confession is... What's our first confession, Kim?
Called Shadow in
the Wall. Shadow in the Wall.
Elvin, please.
Elvin, take it away.
Shadow in the Wall by Syed Jilani. When I was 15, my dad is kind of a spiritual advisor and helped many people from whatever spirit that disturbed them. It can be from black magic and others all along that line. But there was this one particular guy that my dad treated, I shall name him Jack here, really spooked me. The story was he married the love of his life, but unfortunately, there was another man, let's call him Lance here, also fell for the same girl. In the world that we know, the best man wins. So Jack won her heart fair and square. They got married, but it was not happily ever after. Little did he know, something dark was lurking around, and he will soon be haunted. It all started with his wife experiencing sickness, and every night she would vomit and acted strangely. The hubby, Jack, is a doctor, so he did not really believe in the supernatural. After all, whatever he studied, it was all science. Although during his visit at my house, talking to my father, he mentioned he knew these things existed but never thought he would experience it himself. His wife got sicker as the days passed on. Doctor after doctor, no medical doctor could tell what is wrong with her. Her weight deteriorated as well. However, she would only feel terrible once the sun sets. In the morning, she would feel just fine. I am not sure how he found out about my father, but I think it was from a friend that my father had ever helped in the past. So Jack brought his wife over to my place under my father's instruction. I saw her with my own two eyes. She was frail, thin, and looked so sickly. Her skin was so pale, and at that point, she looked like a ghost. When I saw her, I was honestly scared. She would just look at the ceiling and stare blankly. As the husband started to tell more about what happened, he told my father that he had been seeing a shadow lurking on the wall. At first, he thought it was his wife walking around, but he would always see her in the room, laying down on the bed, while just a moment ago, the shadow was moving. My father agreed to help, and the exorcism started. My dad advised them not to return home, so they stayed at my place for a few days. Then, strange things started to happen at my house. Again, with my very own eyes, I saw that very shadow moving around, on the wall, not once, but a couple of times. My father took a few months to cure her completely. Apparently, Lance wanted her for himself, and since he couldn't have her as his life partner, he wanted to take her life instead, talking about how twisted some humans can be. That was many years ago. Their family still keeps in touch with my father. Mrs. Jack is now all well and healthy. They even have two children that are all grown up. Since then, there were no more strange incidents. But whatever happened to Lance, honestly, I have no idea. But my father said, whatever was sent out would be returned and he would suffer the consequences.
Wow. You know,
Actually, when Shed wrote the confession in his form of confession, the ending part was actually, I don't know whether he died already or not.
What?
But I changed it to something that whenever Desmond ran out is, you know, after I did it, because I felt like, macam, you know, oh, okay, lah, I hope people don't die like that. Lah. So, yeah, Shed was saying that. I'm not sure whether he's
dead. I hope
dead,
he died already. Yeah.
But what was he talking about, Lance?
I hope he died already. Yeah, he was talking about Lance, because Lance sent out the,
the
magic, man. Right. So
I'm wondering if we know him. Is his last name Chiao?
Lance Chiao.
Yeah, Lance Chiao. Lance Chiao. That seems quite familiar to me. Yeah. I've heard the name before, yeah? Have you heard the name before, Eugene?
Yeah.
Lance Chiao. Like,
very familiar,
Lance Chiao is a...
Yeah, I'm quite sure I heard it before.
It just rolls off the tongue. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
These people start.
No, but this okay, in the cliff notes, this is about give us a cliff notes, Kim.
Lancia, oh no, not Lancia. Shed is a son of an Islamic healer. So a couple came to seek help from the father, which saying that, you know, there's something wrong with the wife. But then this guy, the husband, is actually a doctor. So he don't believe, not to say he don't believe, he knew these things exist, but he never know that this thing would, you know, happen to him. So, but the thing is, you know, he won the girl's heart, but there's another jealous man who, you know, I want the girl as well. So if I don't get her, I'm going to come with something else, you know? So, yeah. So obviously there's thing that send and kind of like haunt the lady. The lady will be only very sick after sunset. And that is when the husband will start seeing shadows moving around on the wall. And when the couple moved to the house of the Islamic healer, that is when Shed, the confessor, saw the shadow in his house as well.
This story, I would like to add on to it with a personal anecdote. This happened to a relative of mine. Similar case, jealousy, and then a black magic was placed on somebody, right? But before I go into my story, which will probably take some time, maybe I'll let the Sonia and Joe, let you guys have a go at it first. What do you think? Sonia, for those of you who just are watching us live today, Sonia is representing the super rational part of the team, where she will do her darnest best, which is usually the toughest job in a channel that is predominantly supernatural, to give us the perhaps the rational side of things. What could it have been if it's not a hantu? Joe was going to come in after that as well with his as a professional psychologist point of view to talk about what it could have been. And usually Joe takes the middle ground. So let's see where he stands today. Kim, I don't know. I can't say for sure. Sometimes he's a traitor and he goes to their side. Sometimes he's on my side. For those of you who have been watching me the whole time, well, you know, I stand for the hantu. Okay? So Joe or Sonia, which one wants to go first? You guys go ahead. Take a pick.
Lovely ladies first.
Okay, Sonia, over to you.
I get thrown under the bus first. Is that what?
That's right. That's correct.
Senior member, go first.
Oh!
I thought I muted my mic, lah. Sorry.
I'm not feeling so well. I'm not quite at 100%, but you know, it's fully functioning. Just because you're far, you throw barbs from across the sea. Right? You just wait.
Okay? Sonia, what's fully functioning?
Everything is.
Okay. I'm just asking.
Okay, so this story, it's very interesting because just a couple of days ago, I was out doing something and I heard a story as well. And very similarly, from the time I met this person, there was just something very off about him. Now, I automatically will go into, you know, is there something wrong with him from a psychiatric point of view, right? And then I saw a picture of him from before, and I was able to compare what I saw of him during the meeting. And oh my God, it's as if he's got something eating him from inside out. And it was very shocking for me to see that, because he was this handsome, strapping young man, and to see the way he is now, there is no doubt in my mind that he's either very, very sick, okay, but he's gone for medical tests. He's gone through that whole gamut of the science aspect of finding out what's wrong with him, and they couldn't find anything wrong with him. So this story really reminded me of what I heard from him. I mean, this is very similar, right? He's gone to see a doctor. Doctor can't find anything wrong. He's the son of a healer. There's always a price to pay. Even if someone wanted to do something bad to the healer and couldn't because the healer is strong or whatever, they would attack it by whatever means, members of his family or, you know, those that are closest and dear to him. I actually don't have a rational explanation for this one. And
I should prepare a confetti so that I can pop whenever Sonia said, I don't have an explanation.
So it must be the...
something else.
Sudahlah.
pyrotechnics.
You need like the golden buzzer. Golden buzzer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm extremely disturbed by the recent stories that I've been hearing, and then seeing them with my own eyes as well. I think it makes a world of a difference, as opposed to just reading stories. Now I'm hearing it firsthand, and I'm shocked beyond belief. And there's always a price to pay when you're dealing in the occult, and you know, with things like black magic, healers being on the opposite spectrum of that, there is such a price to pay. It just gets more and more shocking for me. So, you know, I'm not gonna use the H word here, but I just wanted to share how I really feel about recent revelations.
And just give the audience a bit more insight, because a lot of new audience today who have not been following our live show. So Sonia joined us sometime in March this year. And when she first joined us, when I first met her, she would, you know, there is not a strand of supernatural belief in her. When I met her last Halloween, when we were walking in the forest, and she says, I'm looking out into the bushes for eyes. For eye shine. And to her, if she spots eyes in the bushes, it's an animal. There's no doubt about it. Whereas...
yes, because I can tell you what animal it is based on the height of the light that shines back from the eyes.
And I can tell you what creature it is that's looking down at us from the treetop if I see a pair of red eyes as well. So I was looking...
those are owls.
I was looking out for Pontiana and Hantus. She's looking out for animals and wild boars. But fast forward... almost a year later, where she's actually tits dip in all this confession, and she's actually going down to the ground and, you know, getting all this firsthand info. It's very hard to remain a skeptic, isn't it, Sonia? With all the things that you have heard and seen.
No, so in all fairness, I have been to several confessions where I didn't feel a thing. So you know that I have a tell, and my tell is that I can feel pressure changes, and I get headaches when I go into areas that are heavy or crass. And you know this from all our SC recon filming and stuff. But I've been to confessions where I don't feel a thing. And I tell you, I don't think this story is going to hold up. You know, I didn't feel a thing. I did not have any reactions. Nothing. Mm. But with this one, it was undoubtedly the first time that I can tell you I have no explanation for you. I just don't. And... seeing his before and after pictures, as well as meeting him in person and listening to his story, everything was off the charts. The vibe was terrible. And it takes a lot to convince me. It takes a lot. You know that. So for it to happen this time,
Thanks for that, Sonia. Joe, bad boy Joe, it's your time now. What do you have for us?
You know, like I asked Sonia to go first because I thought she would kind of do my job for me and do all the rational kind of stuff. But the reason why, and funnily enough that you said it, Sonia, I felt a little bit reticent to dissect this particular story. Not because I can't find a rational explanation for what's happened. I mean, people seeing shadows, we can always fall back on Kim's bugbear, which is tiredness, fatigue, you know, the exorcism and all that kind of stuff. We can always go there. And sometimes, you know, being who I am, I try to straddle the paranormal as well as the scientific and rational. But if I were to take, like, I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of someone who's witnessed an exorcism and then seeing shadows, right? This story creeps me out quite a bit because, yeah, I really don't have a dissection, but just to say it must be entirely scary to be in a house where an evil spirit or magic has been kind of sent back. Like, how do we know where it's gone? Mm. Has it gone to the bathroom? Has it gone under the person's bed? Has it gone back to, you know,
to return, you know, to sender?
Yes, exactly. And I think that any place, no matter what anyone says, that within which exorcisms take place, I think there's bound to be really bad energy there. You know, I spoke to, and I'm hoping to still kind of interview him for a SC video. I've spoken to Rukia Hilila in Perth, and he conducts exorcisms in his home, and he's invited me to, when kind of the stars align, to go and film him conducting a, with the permission of the patient, a Rukia session. And in a way, I'm of two minds to do that. You know, do I want to expose myself to what could potentially be there? You know, he claims that there's nothing bad in this house, but I don't know, man. You go to a sewer and you play with rats, you're going to smell a shit and rats. That's my view.
Like, no matter how safe you try to be, if you're just going to go to a place where there is a chance there is a residual energy, and you just have to be uncareful or unlucky and you're going to bring something back.
You got to be so careful, man. You have to be so careful. And I think if I brought anything back, my mom will kill me. And after I'm dead, my wife will kill me. Then after I'm dead for the second time, my dad will kill me. I just can't. And you know what? I know what will happen, right? When I come home, there'll be a pail of water right at the front of the door. I'll be expected to wash my hands. It doesn't matter if it's the middle of winter. I have to wash my hands, wash my face, take everything off, put it in the, No.
You know, I just introduced you at the start of the show, calling you Bad Boy Joe. So, the Bad Boy image is not working.
I'm not living up to that. No, it's not working today.
You should see his face when we play game and the wife came into the room to shout at him. You should
was that even scarier than the ghost game that you guys are playing?
It was a face of fierceness.
You can see a man's face when you actually see that his balls shrunk.
In my mind, I'm just going to...
What does it look like?
How does it look like this?
I have no idea.
I'm going to try to imagine Joe telling his wife to stay in a place and be in the kitchen and make him a sandwich because he's such a badass. Okay, Kim, over to you.
Yes, exactly.
Since Sonia saying there is no explanation already, so as Asian, I would say black magic is really something that exists among our culture. It is, you know, it is an actual something that is really, really bad and really, really evil. So 100%, what I buy in whatever shit confess and whatever things that happen. So I do believe whatever happened. But here I can just say, or can just tell people who is watching this, seriously, if black magic ever crossed your mind to whoever you wanted to do it to, person that you hate the most, you know, please don't. Because the consequences of it after, you know, it's not something you will want to take on and suffer. I mean, like, it's not worth it. It's not worth it at all. I mean, no matter how much you hate a person and wanted to send something over to him, to destroy him or his or him, her, or his, her family, it's just not worth it.
I agree with you, Kim. You know, like, I think it's the law of nature. that when you do something that fiddles around with natural order of things, there will always be consequences for that. And there's always a price to pay.
Yes.
You know, you see that with relationships, you know, on a mundane level. And I think you also see it in the supernormal world. Mm.
Supernormal. You were supernormal.
Supernormal.
So that's
okay.
The story that I promised you guys, this happened, I think, in the mid, early to mid 2000s. So before I get to that, I spoke to I do a lot of interviews, and in the recent interview with Ustaz Fadli, many of you are fans of Ustaz Fadli Rosli. He claims that black magic today is still very prevalent, especially in the Malay community. I believe he speak to a Taoist spiritual healer. He would also agree that maybe in the Chinese community. So, because I do this like almost Monday to Sunday, I breathe shit and write. And black magic is very prevalent, and almost on a daily basis, he sees patients with who's inflicted by black magic. So this story that I'm going to tell you is my own relative who got married, and husband, wife, they hold a very big, grand wedding dinner. And, you know, you collect ampau, right? You collect ampau, you put ampau in a box. So after the whole wedding dinner, they would take that box back and they go to the room, and sometimes either the bride and groom will count the ampau, or sometimes the siblings, the brothers or the sisters, will help to count the ampau money, right? So I think this ampau was intended for the bride, because, you know, when you go to a wedding, you either put it in the bride box or the groom box, depending on which side of the family you are at. So this was found in the bride's box. When it was ampau, when they open up the ampau and they take out what was supposed to be cash, hair came out, okay? But the person who opened the ampau was not the bride or the groom. It was actually the bride's sister. Okay. Then she, the minute that she saw that, it's like everyone felt it was wrong already. Okay. But because this is the 2000s, it's modern, nobody wanted to acknowledge that it could have been a supernatural. So everyone said, maybe it's a joke, maybe it's a joke. And that is why it's very dangerous to just assume it's not a supernatural. And it's also dangerous to assume it is always a supernatural. So there's that fine line that we always try to do, to navigate. And because they totally ignore it, that night when she went to bed, she had dreams of a jinn or a demon coming into her room to entice her. I believe a lot of things happened in that time where she just was infatuated with this certain character. Apparently, she says she got a boyfriend now, and she needs to go to his house. She needs to travel to his place. And she would take a public transport, blindly to a block of flats going up, and then walking aimlessly around that neighborhood. Okay, so I've got a feeling. We all got a feeling that there was a jealous suitor who wanted to use black magic to entice the bride to go back to him, but the spell fell onto the sister instead. But because the family members don't really believe in black magic or don't know where to go to, they sent her to IMH. And for the longest time, she was there. Eventually, when they could find somebody who could dispel the magic, the damage was already too late. Yeah, so black magic is very real.
So it's not the intended recipient.
Did they have a suspicion who it was that actually sent the stuff?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Like, did she?
Nah.
Oh.
I mean,
XX.
Because I mean, there's only someone. Okay. So here's the theory about black magic. When you use black magic, you dabble in black magic, there is a price to pay for the person who incites the black magic. And I'm for the belief that usually people who would go through the whole curse, go through the willingness to pay the price, is usually for two reasons and two reasons only. That, from my experience, I've seen. Nothing more. One, it's for money, right? Business, money, wealth. Two, it is almost always for love, or jilted lover, or jealousy, sex. It's got to be one of these two. So, when someone puts a spell that powerful, and then you try to narrow down who would be a jealous suitor who would want to do this to you. Yeah.
What did they do again? Sorry, what did they do with the packet of Ang Pao in the hand? They burned
it? No, because they were not believers, right? So they didn't burn it. They didn't do anything. They just threw it away in the hotel dustbin. So if they actually kept it, right, and they bring it to a spiritual healer, we could have done something. We could have traced it back. We could have break the bond. But when you throw it away, that's it. You know, we have no way to track it back. Yeah.
So it's quite dangerous then. Whenever you open your gifts and you open your ang paos and stuff, you don't really know what's inside.
You don't. And in fact, in supernatural law, you don't even accept food from anybody because a lot of things...
No, I think from now on, you should just give people a QR code and tell them to direct deposit.
And also the other thing, right? One of the rules that I broke for myself is I usually don't shake hands with strangers. And... Sonia, you talked about this person that we just interviewed that you felt very, very disturbed. I shook his hand. And the minute I touched his skin, I had an electric shock. The whole of my right side.
A jolt.
The whole of my right side went numb for a bit. That's when I knew there was something in him.
You know, some spiritual people won't, especially if those who are going through intense, austerities and meditation and tapas, right? They are sometimes very reluctant to actually have any physical contact with people because there can be that transfer of energy, even if you read the Bible, Christ, when he was doing his ministry, was very reluctant to sometimes even have people touch his robes because there was a transfer of that energy as well. So I totally agree with you, man. Like, I think you got to be very careful who you touch. Yeah. Kim can touch me anytime. Anytime, Kim. Okay, you hear that, bro? Anytime.
Yeah, like you'll just have your toilet time, Ken, really, lah.
Of course.
We have new viewers here on YouTube. Please don't just introduce it to. Kim can touch me anytime.
Okay, wait. I just want to ask this.
I'm in a hug. Yeah.
KK Heng was asking, was she cured? No, unfortunately, she was never cured. The damage was so far gone that. The mental degradation was real. It became beyond black magic already. Legit crazy.
I've seen that with my own eyes now, and oh my god, that changes you forever.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, that's a very long. Indeed. We had a. It's now 10:40 already. We went on the first story that long. Let's go to the second story right now. What do we have for second story, Kim?
Second story is about a. I already can hear Sonia debunking this one, whereby it's a college student. I think it's a college student. It's a college it's a uni in Malaysia. She was having a long day. Then after that, she actually went to for a short nap. When she went for a short nap, something happened to her when she was taking that short nap. And there is a special appearance in the story. So
this one is narrated by a brand new narrator on Supernatural Confessions. She approaches and she said, I would love to contribute. Can I lend my voice? Props to Li Chia is our narrator for this story. Is submitted, confessed by Amethyst, titled Don't Sleep Before Maghrib. Alvin, take it away.
Don't Sleep Before Maghrib by Amethyst. Back in 2015, I was a student in UITM, a Malaysian local university. It might be because my schedule was super packed that week, and I'm totally exhausted. My class ended super late on that evening, if I remember correctly. It was about 5 or 6 p.m. I had classes throughout that day from the morning. After everything ended, I headed back to the hostel where I stayed with my friends, who were also my classmates. We all came back from class and climbed into our beds for a quick nap. Our beds were double-decker beds, and I sleep on the top bunk. The moment our heads hit the pillow, we were off into dreamland. After a few moments, out of nowhere, I felt suffocated as if something was pressing down on me. I tried to open my eyes, but I couldn't. All I remembered to do then was reading a few surah that came to my head. Once I was done, it felt like the pressure was taken off me, and I could get up and be awake. But because I'm still very sleepy, I just went back to sleep. This kept happening repeatedly. The feeling of having difficulty breathing. It came and went for a few times, despite me getting up the same way as I did the first. I did it anyway because I am not giving up my sleep. I was extremely exhausted and needed to rest. Until that very last time, I can feel that thing come from my legs and straight to my ears. It said,
"Aku tak bodoh,"
in a male voice, and that got me freaked out. I literally sprang up and sat on my bed, and it was like 7 plus p.m. right before the azan. I swear to God, that thing sounded exactly like a male voice, which I had never heard before. The moral of the story, don't sleep before Maghrib.
Well, Sonia, could you explain to us what Maghrib is?
Okay, so for the Muslims, there are 5 prayer times throughout the day, and there are 5 prayer times to keep you reminded of your devotion to God. So 5 prayer times. Maghrib is the one when the sun sets. So you've got Subuh, then you have Zohor, Azan, Maghrib, and then the last one is Isha. Isha is after the sun, about eight plus local Singapore time. And then usually people do that before they sleep, right? So Maghrib is when it is said the planes swap, right? So you have from day to night when the sun sets. And in that moment, it is said to be very sensitive.
Mm. Ooh, now she sounds very supernatural.
Actually, this is Islamic.
In my Peranakan culture, they call it Chinakala. I do not know what it means. It was repeated by my grandmother. It just passed on to me. I just repeat it. Maghrib is Chinakala in the Peranakan tongue. And we are told never to sleep during that time because a child would wake up being disturbed by a spirit. And you see, when babies sleep during that time, they always wake up crying. So the old folks believe that because the spirits would come, there's a turn. The turn between 7 to 7, that's when the planes flip. And I'm not just talking about it from the Islamic perspective. I brought this guy who was dabbling in the more of the Tibetan side of things, and he too confirmed that when the sun sets, he literally did this. The planes shift. He did this. I remember the hand signal. The planes shift. And what is our land now becomes theirs, and they are free to go. And there is a rule that the universe abides by, that up at 7, it is the land of the spirit. That's why when people and skeptics say, "Yeah, well, but ghosts is everywhere all the time." Yes, they are. But at 7 p.m., when the sun sets, the rule of the universe is that it is now a dominant force goes to the spirit world. So that's about all I have to share for this one. Kim, why don't you take this one first?
I think one of the very first few episodes when they actually talk about this, we actually shared about why we were asked not to go out when we were younger. We were asked not to go up during Maghrib, and when, you know, before the Maghrib, the prayers start, whereby when we can hear it from our play spot or a playground, usually our mums or our parents would already ask us to come back. And it's because, to like whatever you said, it's to believe that the beings from the other world, that is when their time to come out and roam the earth. That's why it's better not to play at that time. But the sleeping part, though, I'm not sure. Could it be explained scientifically? Maybe Joe can do that later on, but. For me, I don't like to take my afternoon or my evening nap. It's because whenever I wake up, I don't like the feeling. I do not know what year it is. It's not even when you wake up, it's like, hey, what time is it? So it's like, let's say you go sleep at like 5 or 6, right? It's still, you know, the sun is still there. So the moment you wake up, it's like, you know, 7, 7:30 or 8, right? the question I ask myself, it's not even, is it the next day?
It's a very disconcerting feeling, right? It's like I find that it's such a waste of time. It's like daytime is so precious. There's so much that you can do during the day.
After that, you will feel like myself.
Where did that time go?
I feel like my life is wasted. I should have done something else, but when I wake up, it's like, is it 2030 already?
What is this? Rumpelstiltskin skin.
I stopped taking nap. I think when I enter high school, that is when I stopped taking a nap during the afternoon or evening, unless I'm sick or something like that. If I don't have to, I won't. It's because I don't like the feeling as well. But whatever this confessor is going through, until somebody actually come and talk to her, saying, I'm not stupid. That's what the thing said actually just now. Aku tak bodoh. So I'm not stupid, meaning to say that, you know, the thing actually knew that she was just trying to fight it off. Every time it happens, she would say a prayer. Then after that, you know, it would repeat again until the thing come and say, you know, I'm not stupid. So, you know, if it's me, I would have moved out from the room or even changed school, man. So, but why does the thing would come to people that is sleeping? Is it because, you know, they are most vulnerable?
Yeah, you're in an altered state.
Yeah. Yeah, correct. So maybe that explains it. So for me, 100%. I'm not gonna be a traitor for tonight. Mm. So
she,
I this, am on the I'm watching you, Kim.
This girl, she fell fell back on her recitation as a coping mechanism. We all cope differently. Some of us, like me, always fall back to science first, you know, as an alternative before going down any other option. But what she did is she held on to her religious nature. She clearly is Muslim. And in that recitation, she thought she was warding this thing, was warding this thing off. She did say she is sleepy. And you know how people are in that state. You're tired, you're sleepy. I know you guys are going to say, can't be sleep paralysis. She heard a voice. She could have heard anything. It could be an overactive imagination. She already said she was sleepy. And in that state, could she have imagined it all?
I want to say something, but later Eugene's going to call me traitor. In that room, in that room, it's not only her. There's another friend, actually. Right? In the story, there's another friend. So what if the friend was not sleeping? The friend was actually playing Pranking. Supernatural podcast. And, you know, suggestion. My voice came on. Yeah, you know. So then after that, she like, hey, I heard this voice in my ear. But, you know, is this actually the friend, you know, playing Supernatural podcast, which is out every Monday and Wednesday?
Slide
advertisement lah, wait, you guys punya work, wait, what happened lah? Okay. So every Monday and Wednesday. So if you have not heard it, so go to Spotify or whichever platform that you're listening your podcast on, you can go listen.
I love King's product placement. Is that was smooth, bro? That was so smooth.
Smooth, man. Smooth.
Slide that.
What about you, Joe?
I don't even know why you bother to ask me about anything related to sleep and stuff like that, right? Because know that what I'm going to say, and it's exactly what Sonia is going to say. Sleep paralysis, hypnagogic, hypnopompic sleep, you know, tactile, auditory, you know, visual hallucinations are very common.
Also, other external stimuli as well. I mean, if
exactly. Yeah, I totally agree. You know, however, the caveat being, if I heard Kim's voice as I'm falling asleep saying that to me in such a deep, deep voice, I don't know about that. That's a supernatural experience for me.
That would be a super sensual experience for you.
It will. Kim would be like, jangan bodo.
Ooh, talk dirty to me.
Most likely, I would not say sayang. I would say kamu.
I'll be like
kamu bodoh.
I'll be like bang. tidur tak bang?
Bang, bang me bang.
Bang me bang. No hang, no bang.
I think for Supernatural Confessions, next product launch, we have t-shirts, we have books, but what we don't have is
books?
A six...
We have books?
Yeah. But what I probably going to launch next
not mine.
Is a 60-second audio file of Kim talking to you. And we're going to sell that for $19.90 for single horny male or female.
You're going to have to do like a series, right? One where he sounds, to put you to sleep, he needs to go into that very deep hypnotic.
Yeah, the only person buying is going to be Joe. maybe
buy
Carlos as well.
Damn it, I expect a free copy. No, no, it's no buying. No. I want a bespoke copy of your voice singing me like Geylang. Sipaku
hello, bang. Prostitute also got paid. Okay? I prefer than prostitute. I don't get paid. You thought I want charity worker. Okay?
Well, the next time we meet up in Singapore and we have to stay in a haunted hotel room, I'll protect you. Services rendered.
No need. I'm not going.
Well, the next segment is Kim's segment. So if you can't get enough of Kim's voice. The next segment, you're going to love this one. Ladies, get your panties wet. Boys, cream your boxes. This next segment is known as Know Your Hantu. And this one is a entity all the way from the Philippines. And it's going to be a very pun segment. So I hope you guys enjoy this. And take it away, Elvin.
For this episode of Know Your Hantu, we're going to talk about Tikbalang. Tikbalang is a bipedal horse creature of the Philippine folklore. It is believed to be a transformation of an aborted fetus which has sent to earth from limbo. Tikbalang is mentioned to lurk in forests and mountains, and due to its habitat, they are also said to scare travelers or play tricks on them which will cause them to stray from their original path. If you happen to be tricked by Tikbalang in the jungle, you would need to wear your shirt inside out to be let go. Filipino believe that before you enter the jungle, seek permission to have your journey undisturbed and also be as quiet as you can in the jungle to avoid disturbing the Tikbalang. Tikbalang appears as a tall, bony creature resembling a humanoid horse. It is covered with a fluffy, dark mane while its fur is in lighter color. According to traditional folklore, the Tikbalang can also transform itself into human form or turn invisible to humans. However, there is a superstition popular with the Tagalog of Rizal province that Tikbalangs are the benevolent guardians of elemental kingdoms. Standing at the foot of gigantic trees, looking and keeping guard, keeping the kingdom's territory safe from trespasses. A common saying that mentioned rain from a clear sky, may kinakasal na Tikbalang, means a Tikbalang is getting married. This was potentially connected with a Spanish proverb that claimed a witch was getting married when it rains during sunny day.
Wow.
So I have to that look up picture, for this thing in the forest.
You're looking for this thing in the forest?
No, I'm saying now I have to go look for this thing in the forest.
Oh, why you want to look for this thing in the forest?
No, now that I know about it, now I have to look long.
She's just, because it's hung like a horse, that's why she wants to look for it.
Doesn't that look like Jar Jar Binks on crystal meth? Have a look at that picture again. That looks like Jar Jar Binks on drugs.
Misa, I want to scare you.
Yeah. Misa like this.
Misa Cebu. there's this other Filipino law about another monster that I think hopefully Kim, you should do it one day. Is the Aswang.
Aswang, yeah.
What?
Aswang.
The Aswang.
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 Yeah. Aswang.
Aswang. Yeah. Yeah. That one's
You've gone all American with your pronunciation.
Wait.
Aswang.
Yeah, you gotta give me a spelling. I don't wanna look for any Wang pictures that pop up in my
Aswang.
Isn't it Aswang?
Aswang, yeah.
Isn't it Aswang?
No.
Sonia, Sonia pretends to be this cute little innocent girl. Oh, how can you guys say that? I since I met you guys, suddenly ass wank. Where did ass wank come up from?
I blame the honey lemon.
You blame the honey lemon.
It's not just honey lemon in
Zara. I'm telling you, it's not.
Long, yeah, cocktail. Okay, I will look into that.
Not into the ass wank. Please don't do that.
I will look into
the ass wank.
Whatever the ass wank, the name that Eugene mentioned, not the one that Sonia suggests. Yeah. Not that. So
www.pornhub.com. That's the play. .com. Sorry. I'm going to shut up now. I'm muting my mic.
Oh my God. But you know what? When I was listening to that story, it reminded me very much of ancient Greek mythology, like the centaurs. Right?
Yeah,
and there's so many other creatures that were half human and then had parts of them being animal. Like you've got the minotaur, you've got harpies and all that sort of stuff. To see it still live, could they have, been residues of those kinds of myths, just passed down through time?
And it bears striking resemblance to what is known as the dogman in the US. Have you guys heard of the dogman?
Yeah,
sometimes people, when they describe the dog man, they describe it as having a very long kind of snout.
Like an elongated snout.
Exactly. And I'm wondering if this is like something that's similar cross-culturally as well.
Actually, across a lot of culture, there is a creature with a horse face or a dog face. Even the Chinese mythology, Niu Tou Ma Mian, which we covered before in the previous No Yu Han Tu, a horse face creature. And I think in Mexico... Yeah. You mentioned Greece already. Mexico, there's also one that is like a very elongated face. So could this be maybe more of a cryptoid where there is a creature out there that's not been discovered?
I'm also reminded, there's another one called, it's a satyr? S-A-T-Y.
Satyr.
Yeah. And that one's a male nature spirit, also always in the forest, always hiding amongst trees and stuff. And it's said to have the tail and the ears of a goat. But it's got a very interesting bit of anatomy, very clear.
They are fertility symbols in kind of ancient and pagan folklore. The satyr and Pan and all that. They like to... I'm just being very. I'm just being good. No ass wank for me.
Yeah. So anyway, if you have you guys are watching this, I know you guys are from USA. There's some people from France. There's some from Russia.
Greece.
Do let us know the kind of famous mythology that is prevalent in your culture that we may not have covered it yet. Chances are we have not covered it yet. That you would like us to feature perhaps the next confession. Drop it in the comment section. I think Kim would really appreciate it because all the ideas that you can provide him, it gives him some direction on what to look out for in his next research.
Because I don't know what I don't know. So if I never pop up the name, I will not be able to do research on it. So if you do have a name and but please don't send me like whatever Sonia mentioned, S-S-W-A-N-K, S Wank, and I go and look for it. I'm a very innocent boy. Why but
bullshit.
Okay, I want to interrupt this confession for a bit, right? And to give you a different confession. So for those of you who have actually watched us on Facebook and you have heard Kim does his comedy, there's one time he mentioned about it's been 108 days since he last had sex and he decided to wear a pair of slippers to go running just so he can hear the familiar sound of a... And when that joke was shared on the confessions many weeks ago, Sonia, it flew over Sonia's head. She's like, why? I don't get it. I don't get the joke. last weekend, in the middle of the night, she just goes, I know what it means.
Oh, God.
It took her some
time. Talk about delayed reaction. Jeez.
Yeah.
No, like she had to go through the process, maybe then she was like, ah.
Actually, that's true. Then finally, I was able to make that relation. I was like, oh, is that why it's called?
Oh, good for you. If to continue from that part, now actually, I found myself a girlfriend already. So,
but so you no longer have to use your slippers.
Yeah, no longer. So, but the other day I was commenting on her underwear being too tight and also too revealing, you know. So yeah, but she asked me to wear my own.
Well done. You slipped that in quite nicely. You slipped that one in quite nicely, Kim.
Nice.
Today, Kim is smooth, man. Smooth. This guy is smooth today.
Oh, thank my God.
You. Thank you.
All right. Well, moving on to the next segment, away from women's underwear, we have another confession. This one is confessed by Claudia and voiced over by possibly the second most sexiest voice in Supernatural Confession. And this one is titled, She's at the Balcony.
Second
Alvin,
who?
Take it away.
Hmm.
To me, la.
She's at the Balcony by Claudia Chua. Not sure what you guys will think of this, but just wanted to share. Sometime last year, my boyfriend, friends, and I rented a unit in an industrial building in Serangoon for e-commerce side business purposes. We used the unit at night because we all have day jobs. And when we got the unit, we moved in a rush and didn't pray or do any rituals. After moving in, we will occasionally hear the doorknob sound, but we just dismissed it. There is a balcony outside that, and it's completely dark at night because there are no lights there. Sometimes we will smoke or talk on the phone alone at night while we're there. Never felt anything strange until one day we had friends come over and I was outside on the phone alone at that point. When I came back, one of my friends told me not to be outside alone because our balcony is dirty and continued saying that she was outside just now, she couldn't see me. Then she made a point that whatever is outside at the balcony seems to be vengeful. It will cause cracks in relationships both between me and boyfriend and also business partners. True enough, that night itself, I had a huge fight with my boyfriend. Next day, he and our other partners went back to the unit to pack stuff and saw this strange shadow or print on the wall that wasn't there before. From that day onwards, our partners kept dreaming of me or me with someone unknown in the unit. And my boyfriend had sleep paralysis while sleeping beside me in my house, saying he saw a lady beside him on his right when I was on his left. And before all this, I told my boyfriend that whenever I was out on the balcony alone, I always had this feeling to jump over the railing. Now, after all these incidents kept happening, people told me to stop going there, but I thought to myself, as long as I don't stay too late, it should be fine. One time, we were in the office at about 7 or 8 p.m. discussing business when my godmother randomly called me and asked me, "Where are you? You go home now." I asked why, and she started crying, saying, "I had a terrible dream about you, and it felt so real. I feel so worried. You better go home from wherever you are now." Uncertain why, I felt scared and went home. During this period, me and my boyfriend and our partner's relationship kept getting worse and worse, always getting into big arguments and fights. Our friends who visited our office also behaved weirdly and abnormally. It seems like that they're not themselves when they are in the unit. Now, after all these, we decided to seek help from a Tua Tia who told us to do certain rituals to invite the thing to leave. But he said can't be confirmed because since she was there for a long time, it's not easy for her to go. My boyfriend and partners did the ritual and things were all right for a while. And we thought she, the thing, had left already. But not long after, weird things started to occur again. When our friend who can see these things went to our unit, She said the thing actually hasn't left and is confined to the balcony because of the salt and rice we scattered in the unit. And she said that the thing wants me to take her place as a substitute. Fast forward a couple of months, we didn't really use the unit anymore. Also, not to tempt our fate. And our lease eventually ended.
Wow.
Where did it say this apartment was again?
Oh, it's a business. It's a business space. Rented business space. Not apartment.
But there are no location or where it might be. It
wasn't stated. I don't know. It kind of feels as if... So if you're joining forces with friends, you want to do a little side business. You don't want to spend too much money on rent. So you're going to end up in some of the older industrial areas of Singapore where they have older buildings.
They mentioned Serangoon.
Serangoon,
maybe. I mean, there's so many places in Singapore. There are lots. It's very hard to...
Like Jalan Pemimpin, you know, that sort of area. They've got those old buildings, old industrial areas.
With a balcony.
Areas. Yes, with balconies. That's what it sounds like an older...
She says, RY said, I think she said Serangoon.
Did she say Serangoon?
JKEC also says Serangoon. Yeah.
So there are... Foot two is...
Serangoon.
Did she say the name of the building? Noah?
No, the building she referred to is not an old building though.
Did she say it was not an old building?
But it doesn't have to be an old building for spirits to take residence there.
No, I know. I just felt building, like it was. It was because of the kind of vibe that she got there.
A very, very those industrial building kinds of vibe, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just start this off first, right? I'm a firm believer, especially when it comes to business, about vibes. In fact, many times, relationships, the fights, the falters, when we start to lose our temper, and because I do a lot of tarot reading, not that I read tarot cards, but I go to people like Zoe, to Danielle for tarot reading. I go to Ajahn Joe. I go to Murali for annual fortune forecast. I have my friends like Atok who do parts of the reading, and a whole host of other people, right? So I tend to do a lot of this. And sometimes I would be warned, in this month, like September, you would have a huge fight with so-and-so. And as it turns out, without any form of very strong motivation, like, you know, we've gone through worse situations, but those things that were warned, came to pass. And especially when it comes to certain moving in for the office as well. If you don't do certain traditions, bad things will happen. And there were times where we said, oh, yeah, it's very leche to do all this. So we just kind of cut short. And true enough, all that was forecasted came to pass. So I'm beginning to see this story more than just a topic about a hantu. Although this particular story has a hantu element, I'm just also thinking from a wider perspective, there is a lot of energy, a lot of vibe, a lot of feng shui that would go into moving into an office that would then cause a lot of chaos to relationship, to health. And in this case, the tenants got more than they bargained for. But Joe, what do you think about this? Over to you first.
You know, this story resonated with me, and I don't know if I related the story to you about when my wife and I, when we had just been dating, we came down to Malaysia for a holiday and we went to Kota Tinggi waterfalls and we stayed by some chalets there. And you know what? It was paid for by a family who had kind of brought us over there. Anyway, we went into this group of chalets, right? And the moment you walked into this room, there was this oppressive, like a heaviness to the room. And it was really strange, like, right? Even though, you know, you turned the aircon on, it felt hot, it felt stuffy, it felt really heavy in there. Really weird thing. The bathroom door was boarded up and there was blood on the bathroom door. Now, we had no choice. We had to stay there, right? The funny thing is, every time we stayed in that room, we would fight. Over nothing. And I can't tell you what we'd be fighting about. We'd just fight. The moment we leave the room, everything's fine.
Yeah.
The moment we step in again, we start fighting. You know, I'm a believer that, you know, places hold energy, and who knows what the place, you know, held prior to us being there. When we spoke to some of the guides that have brought us there, they said that area was, you know, because it's very wooded and there's a lot of jungles there, they say at night, those forest spirits actually come down to that area, hang around there, and leave in the morning. So he says, and that area is known to have these things happen. So, you know, I could debunk it and say people's imaginations, you know, self-fulfilling prophecy. One person says something, another person says something, and before you know it, everyone's seeing a ghost walk through the wall. But having experienced this, I have to say, hey, you know, you never know. I'm a believer that places whole energy.
Yeah.
But okay, but the thing is, I'm not sure whether it would be the forest spirit or not, because forest spirit, it's usually, they won't cause those negative vibes to relationship, and they are not out there to harm people unless you come and, you know, and disturb their territory. Maybe the place have built into their parts of territory. That is possible, so that they could. But I do remember, I do have a similar experience to this as well. I remember there is one time whereby I used to attend this camp, and this was in Syrian. This is in Sarawak, Syrian. So Syrian has a waterfall, a very, very small, very family type of, you know, a safe spot for picnic and stuff like that. But that place, somehow, there's a lot of people committing suicide there. Plus, there are a lot of people who drown in a very shallow pool. So people could not explain all these incidences, right? So there's one, I remember there's one year when we went there, and we went there for a camp. Then there's this one particular room. I didn't sleep in that room. I slept in the room next to it. But what happened was, I remember there's this one time when we were, we were patrolling the area or something like that. But that was in the daytime. That was in the daytime. So we were, because we were checking to like, to make sure all the kids or the participants actually go to the main hall to do activities, so that we don't have anybody who, you know, stay back in the room and do, you know, ass wank or whatever stuff in the room. So we went to check on rooms whenever the kids moved out. Like, so I remember I walked into this one room, right? I do feel that heavy feeling. And the next shitty part was, I hear the toilet, which is in the room, I hear the tap just turn on by itself.
Oh, man. Whoa.
And the shower just turned on, right? So, yeah, the shower turned on. The tap was, then the shower turned on. Of course, you know, on top of my head, there was a kid inside, you know? So, me and my friend, like, hey, there's a kid inside. So, we went in. But when we went in, there was obviously nobody. Then we were like, Just turn it off. Then after that, we cabut. We left the place, right? When we left the place, after everything else was done, when the kid went back to the room, right? The kid told us again, saying that the shower turned on again after we turned it off. So we were like, okay.
That's a really loose tap.
Yeah, there's a lot of loose stuff in the world, but...
That tap isn't one of them.
The tap isn't one of them. I just felt the tap isn't one of them. And you have to know, I go and turn off the tap, but, you know, it doesn't feel like it's loose or, you know, it's not working well.
Yeah.
What we did after that was we actually moved and dispersed that kid in that one room. So, you know, we just like, okay, don't use this room because we know there's no other rooms that is available. So the kid actually slept with, you know, slept in the seniors' room or something like that, you know. So you just, you know, keep the room empty. So yeah, that is also a chalet near a wooded area. And yeah, could it be something as well in that rented space of Claudia?
I agree with Chiho Lim. If the tap turns on it by itself, get the fuck out. You totally agree.
Yeah, true.
But
true.
He also said mechanical pressure and some older forms of plumbing can actually cause taps to actually turn on by themselves.
Yeah.
Sorry, Sonia.
What kind of plumbing is that?
No, that's lousy plumbing.
Lousy plumbing.
Fixed plumbing. I was going to say that some of the factors that can contribute to a place, you know, when you're in that space, it can feel uncomfortable. It can feel very heavy. There are several factors. There are several situational factors, like tension between partners. You're going into something new. You could have some disagreements with your partners. The business is not going in the direction that you want it to. That's one thing that I would feel could make a place feel heavy, as well as what about lousy ventilation? Did they keep the balcony doors open all the time? Or was it just a single door that led up to the balcony? Was any of that mentioned?
No. I don't know. You were narrating the story. You tell us.
No, I don't remember reading any of that. So things like lousy ventilation, and you know, there are environmental factors as well, like mold, for instance. All that makes you feel lousy. You're not going to feel very healthy in a space like that. And that's why when you're choosing a space, you have to feel comfortable in it. The minute you enter, if it doesn't have a good vibe, then don't take it. Sometimes that first impression of a place
really is true.
Yeah.
I know this couple. They were together for 9 years. 9 years. 9 years, boyfriend and girlfriend, all the way through through the entire 20 years of their life. And then they eventually decided to get married. So I'm quite distracted by someone just hammering away at the keyboard. Do you guys hear that? Must be the hunt.
That's Joe.
Okay, so...
Look at the guilty face.
Okay. 9 years together, move into a house. In that first year, marriage crumbles. No kids involved, nothing at all. Nothing has changed in their life other than the fact that they... Because they were already cohabitating for the last 7 out of 9 years. So they just moved to the new place because they came of age, and the marriage did not work out well. And the girl was a Christian. She didn't believe in any of this paranormal stuff. The guy said he has very restless sleep. He cannot sleep. Very restlessly. He gets up tired. They were cranky all the time. They were constantly at each other's throat. And of course, the divorce happened. And when eventually, when the girl moved out and he then decided to call a spiritual person to come down and take a look. I was there myself as well. And it turns out, when the fellow came in, he's like, wow, this house, very hot. Whoever stay here show fight. Then he walked to the room. He said, wow, this one is where most of the fight happened here. Confirm, this one, whoever sleep here will fight one. Don't even talk about having sex. Nobody is going to be happy here. The fire, then he point about the feng shui, everything. He says, the feng shui master did not know anything about the state of the marriage. He said, you all better move out. This marriage won't last. Then told the guy that actually the marriage just ended. He said, "你看啊，你看，我是对的啦." So sometimes, it's although we don't believe, right? It's just safe to... I'm very distracted with this Sonia trying to devour the whole B-cup. Yeah, the whole pill in the face. B-cup. I'm saying Sonia has a big cup.
This is a version of one girl, one cup.
One girl, one cup. She's so low. What was I saying? Yes. So the next time I find that if I would be fighting with my woman, I would blame the hantu. Darling, it's not me. Well, it's not you either. It's the feng shui. Must be the hantu. Yeah.
Yeah, but then if you like, you've moved in, then after like 5 years, then you start to fight, then maybe it's not the feng shui.
Yeah. Honey, it's not me, it's just you.
It's not me, it's not you, it's the hantu.
Yeah. How convenient.
Before we go to the YouTube for tonight, we actually have another special for you guys, Eugene, right?
Oh, yes. Mm. This one is given to us by one of our previous confessor. Her name is Nikki. She's a friend of Smooth Operator. I know many of you are asking, where is Smooth Operator? I moved out of Alvin's house. Hopefully, I bring the hantu away from his house. For those of you who have been watching us and Alvin in our previous story, sometime in late 2020, December, I moved into Alvin's house. Again, this is for the benefit of those who don't know us and have not heard the story. December 2020, I moved into Alvin's house, and his house apparently was peaceful before that. Either that or he was just totally oblivious to the haunting. And in the first month I was there, the dustbin could open and close by itself. The TV could turn on and off by itself. My son, who was then 4 years old, saw a kakao playing hide and seek with him. He woke up like 5 a.m. playing hide and seek with somebody.
What?
All that happened in Alvin's house. So now that we have moved out, I could have either removed the ghost who was following me out of his house, or B, now Alvin is alone entirely in a house full of hantu. So one of the two.
Every now and then, we got to check on Alvin, see whether he's dried up or what. Because, you know, remember saying, you're going to suck me good, not suck me dry.
Yeah, so running this live stream behind the scenes, four of us, it's not just the four of us. Alvin De Cruz, props to you for keeping this stream moving very smoothly. So I was about to tell a story, I forgot. What was I supposed to say? Oh, yes.
The video.
Alvin's friend Nikki, or ex-colleague Nikki, sent him a video. And this one is something I want to show you guys. Alvin, could you play the video, please?
So I wanted to do a transformation video of before and after I cleaned up the space at Changi Airport Terminal. Nothing out of the ordinary happened until I heard a loud thud from inside. That's when I felt something eerie, and I immediately packed my stuff and leave. I was so shocked after I watched the video again.
Yeah. So, did you guys see what you are supposed to see? Yeah, I'll
be able to
play it
again. There. The mannequin's arm
jerked by itself.
Okay.
I'm always very skeptical when things are framed so nicely.
Perfectly,
you know, it follows the rule of thirds where the mannequin is slightly off kind of center so that your eye naturally falls there. The guy comes forward and leaves just enough of space on his left hand side to see that. Oh, I don't know about that, man.
But how do you explain how they do it, though? Because, you know,
fishing wire.
You see, when he moves his arm forward, that's when the mannequin's arm moved up as well.
Oh, is it?
Look, try again.
Is it?
Moves the arm forward.
No, but the arm also went down after that, right? No, for me, anything on TikTok...
He moved forward.
Look
at that. That's exactly when the arm moved.
Okay. But anything on TikTok with a nice sound effect, I think it's just produced. I don't think if you really catch a ghost on camera, you would put it on TikTok and do this. Or maybe I'm just an old man and I cannot handle TikTok. But yeah...
Yeah. Why would he even video himself closing up shop? What's the purpose of that? Oh, this...
For TikTok lah, everybody put whatever it is on TikTok ma. So, you know, so closing a shop, then they put it on. he's making a transformation video before, after lah.
Yeah, but I think Sonia, you're right. The minute he moved his hands forward, the hand went up too. Mm. You spotted that. Yeah.
It's just too much of a coincidence for me.
Eugene should do a TikTok dance. Now that is truly horrific. No, Frankie, do not miss the live. The live is still happening right now. We are ending soon in 6 minutes. But yeah, so this is a video we're going to show you guys. Submitted to us by Nikki. I know Joe and myself, we have our doubts. Sonia also said that the hand action has a bit of correlation with the movement of the mannequin's hand.
Perfectly timed.
Ivan says confirm fake. What's the purpose of this TikTok video? And to entertain you, Lusu79, to entertain you. That's what it is. For views, that's what you guys are saying. Okay.
Yep.
I think most of us can agree.
Looks really fake.
Although on Supernatural Confessions, we rarely want to term a video fake. But again, due to the nature of this thing, I would say it's very entertaining. Right? It's done a good job entertaining us. It could be real. Who knows?
I still think it's real though. Hold on. Why? What's wrong with you guys tonight? Like, everything not real.
Wait, Kim, your Gundam will fall off the stack again.
Shut up, lah.
Oh, look, the curtain's moving.
Yeah, it is, actually. Look at that.
Wow, now Elvin also want to say something. Okay, lah. Good night, everybody.
Kim. Is it your girlfriend behind you? Do you want to introduce us?
Yeah. Later, together, we'll wear the underwear.
Oh, you promise, all right? You promise.
Dashinta works at the airport, and she's going to check it out for us. So, Dash, let us know whether how true this is.
Nice.
Okay, so the featured confession tonight, we got 4 minutes left. I'll just make this a quick one. Some parts of the interview is a 30 minutes long interview. Obviously, not everything was made into the final cut for tonight. But just as some of the parts that did make it is why she even started confessing this story to Kim, our dear friend. And I got a feeling, Kim, she has the hots for you. Stay tuned to the very end of the entire confession, all 30 minutes of it, and you'll find her saying something that I went, whoa, and I kept that line inside. And I know Kim was blushing at that time. So
I want to say my girlfriend is watching this also, and she knows this girl very, very well. We are very close to her, as she is more to a sister instead of... somebody who have a crush on me, but whatever she said after that, I have a feeling it's like Joe like that lah.
Yeah, like Joe.
Wanna touch my hand.
Everybody wants Kim lah. Nothing's
like Joe like that. Okay, don't put me in the same category, Kim.
No one right? hangs like.
You'll find
Joe.
Out when we. Exactly, nothing hangs like Joe.
Yeah. But let's get to the confession that you guys are gonna watch in short bit. Actually, she do have another story, which is that is also off record already, lah. Because you know, after I switch it off, she like, oh, that I have a story which happened to my. This is to her aunt, which is her mother's sister.
Yeah,
that story. It's for me. It was really interesting. Yeah, because off record already, then I'm like, I'm going to catch another time to sit down with you and get that part of the story. Because she also said there is some details of that story. She's not sure about how the sequence go. But it is something to do with somebody who went off to work somewhere else. But after that, died in a shipwreck. But somehow that person managed to track back the family and actually return home to reach out a message.
That's very powerful. I want to hear that.
Yeah. So, but how he actually reached out, there were a lot of elements in it, which for me, I was like, wow, you know, I've never heard this before, but yeah, let her sort out the details and I'll get it.
Is our confessor, Chien, is she single?
She's not. The boyfriend is also a good friend of mine as well.
If she ever looks for a boyfriend, may I introduce Alvin De Cruz, our smooth operator, very strapping young lad.
Of course.
He's a very eligible contender. Just putting it out there for my friend Alvin De Cruz.
Yeah, but we gotta let Alvin see first. See Alvin whether this is Alvin's type or not lah. Because the other day when I talked to Alvin said I like
men.
I like Taiwan XMM. I had to figure out for why what is XMM.
Yeah, even I know that.
Oh, Alvin.
Singaporean term lah.
Are we like the tao yan that kind of one?
Bapo is it?
No la bapo.
Bukan bapo lah bro.
That one
Eugene do it then become bapo. Eh,
you know the
Xiao Mei Mei not Kun Yang, okay bro.
Alamak, kesian lah you, poor thing pula. Okay, anyway, we have come to 11:30. Time to say goodbye. As always. Joe, why don't we start with you first, Sonia, Kim, then I'll say last.
As with every kind of week, thank you guys for spending time with us. You know, date night on a Friday night. We love having you here. And from me, there are always more questions than there are answers. Thanks, guys. See you next week.
I want to say a little something about this giant thing that I have, right? Finished already.
Your big cup.
It's big cup. It is quite big. This is it's a milk pot. It's a milk pot, and it's used for you to heat up milk on a stove. It's by WMF and stuff. It's the largest thing I could find to drink my honey lemon out of, because I have a bit of a scratchy throat and need to feel better quickly. I always on the show. Thanks for tuning in. Those that are repeat fans from yesterday's show, Where is Chi-Chi? That takes place every fortnight. And I'm Sonia. And I have a super rational explanation for most of everything. I remembered my line.
I wanted to say you need something else to scratch your throat, like maybe, since you have a scratchy throat. Okay, I'm not going to continue. Okay.
Oh, my.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us every Friday. And we will be here, hopefully, until the end of October. Yeah. I do not know when Eugene is going to say, okay, we're going to have a short break.
October. Halloween is our last.
October.
Yeah, Halloween
is our last. Okay. So, thank you very much. Tonight, we are trying something new and we have a marvelous response whereby we are going live on YouTube. So, most likely, we'll go live on YouTube every other coming Friday. And also, our other stream, like Where is Chi-Chi yesterday, also
on YouTube,
as well. Yeah, okay. So, I am Kim. Thank you very much once again, and remember the podcast is out on Monday and also Wednesday if you missed out tonight. So for me, whatever you don't see doesn't mean it is not there,
right? And thank you for all fans, new and old. For new ones, welcome to the family. For old ones, welcome back. My name is Eugene Tay, and remember, no matter what you encounter, what you see, whether it's real or not, you are not alone. We'll see you guys next week, but for now, jump in on the next video that comes right after this, the premiere of Growing Up in a Haunted House, Three Terrifying Nights by our confessor, Chien. Good night, everybody.